Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. And as you know, each week we chat with a guest who shares her personal story of how she came to know the Lord. And today we're very excited to have Rita Howard with us. Rita owns a Christian daycare in the Detroit area. It's called Grace Christian Learning Center. It's been around for 33 years. She personally has 5 kids and 2 grandchildren. And I have a personal connection with Rita because I went to her daycare when I was young. And I went there from a really young age. I don't even remember how old I was, but yeah. Small.
I think you're about 12 weeks old.
12 weeks old. Yes, yeah. There we go. And I went there until I was 5. So I have very, very fond memories of the daycare. And actually, I mentioned it in my episode where I talked about my story, that I really do believe I had such a strong foundation in Christianity and my love for God because I attended your daycare. And I just felt like it was infused into us as kids. So I just really respect you a lot. And I'm really excited to hear your story today. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Catherine. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, of course. So let's just dive right into the first question. These have been so, so cool to hear everyone's unique perspective. But what does Christianity personally mean to you?
You know, it's changed. When I was younger and I thought I was walking with Jesus, it really was legalistic and more about don't break the commandments. And as I've grown and surrendered everything to Jesus, it's just really living my life according to the Word of God. And I think that is so confusing for so many people who believe in Jesus. The economy of Jesus is completely upside down. It's not the same as what the world tells us. And it's just a constant, there's a constant tension there. You know, I just wrote down a couple things, you know, those things like choosing to forgive, choosing not to be offended, choosing to tithe your money versus holding on to it, choosing to love versus not loving the person that's really taken advantage of you, choosing to serve, put yourself last. And I don't know, I think the biggest thing is believing that the Word of God is real, it's living, it penetrates down into bone and marrow, and that God responds to the Word of God. I think most of my life I begged and pleaded in my prayers. And then as I got older and I've gone through trials, I've learned that I'm in covenant with Jesus and his promises are yes and amen. And I don't have to beg and I don't have to plead. I just have to stand on what he's already said yes to. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different way of living. And I just really think that it's a supernatural change. I don't think it's something that you can really read about. I think that things happen in your life and you get down on your knees and you cry out from the bottom of your heart and God starts revealing these things to you. So it's a wonderful way to live. And it's completely, really opposite of what society tells us.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with all of that. I've just been nodding my head the whole time because it's so true. I mean, what Jesus talks about, it's countercultural, yeah. It's counterintuitive. Uh-huh. It's just so unique. And I think that's what's so incredible about Jesus is he's like none other. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Jesus gives us a desire. I mean, you know, my story, you know, when I lost my daughter, my baby, and I was Catholic, and I will never, ever say anything negative about the Catholic faith, ever. I never have. But I never knew the scriptures. I never opened the Bible. So when that meant everything to me, heaven meant everything to me, then I started pursuing what the Word of God said.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big eye opener.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us about that? Like, let's get into it. So, maybe you can answer, you know, how you first became a Christian and talk about your story and how you really got there.
Yeah. You know, I was, 28 when I got married. I'm sorry, 27 when I got married, and I was Catholic all my life. I went to church. I definitely believed in Jesus. I thought I was a good person. I didn't break the big commandments, but that was about it. And then my husband and I were pregnant with our first daughter, and totally normal pregnancy. Every doctor's appointment was normal. And then at that time I was doing a secular daycare with just like six kids in my house, my townhouse, just because I knew I wanted to be home with my daughter. And about a week before I gave birth, another daycare was shutting down in Birmingham. And one of the customers called me and said, "Hey, can you take our kids here?" And I said, "No, I'm only licensed for six kids." And they said, "Well, if you can't take our kids, if you ever need a great caregiver, you should call this girl, Kelly." And I said, "Thank you." And I put Kelly's number in my drawer, but I didn't really think anything of it until like 2 days went by. And I thought, I was pregnant. I was like 9 months pregnant. I thought, you know what? I had one helper. I thought, oh, it'd be nice to have a second helper with me. And so I called this girl, Kelly. She was in her 20s. She came over to my house, real beautiful young lady. And I never asked her anything about Jesus. I just asked her about children, work schedule, all the secular questions. There was no reason for me to ask her about God. And I hired her on the spot, just thinking, this will be nice. I can have the baby, and Kelly can help out part-time. Well, Kelly started the day I went into labor. And so I went into labor on April 9th. Gracie, that was our first daughter, was due April 15th. So I went in labor the 9th. I had her on the 9th, and she lived for 1 hour. And she had a total absence of lungs. And they didn't know it till after they cut the cord. So after she came out, they lifted her up. She cried a little. They cut the cord, and by the time they got her to the warming, I mean, the room was chaos. And she passed away that day. And I had to call Kelly and tell her, and the other lady that was working for me, and tell them I wouldn't be back for a couple weeks. And again, I never asked anything about Kelly's belief system. And I went home to Bay City, stayed with my mom, my dad for a couple weeks, and I legitimately fulfilled that scripture, which I didn't know I was fulfilling it, but it was, "Seek me with all your heart and you'll find me." I would go to the Catholic church and I'd go in the little chapel. There's a couple times I fell asleep in the pew because I was like, I know you're good. This is what I would say to God. And I think he really liked it. I'd say, "I know you're a good God. I know you're not a God that would just have me get pregnant, have baby showers, decorate a baby nursery to pick out a coffin. I do not want to serve a God like that." I mean, I was very, very bold, and I just begged him, "Please, please, you got to show me. I don't want to be a bitter woman. I don't want to go through something like this and just carry it in my life. You got to teach me. You have to teach me." And I had one person, my sister-in-law, who is a very strong Christian, still is, give me one scripture. And it was, "All things work together for good to those who love you," Romans 8:28. And I can remember vacuuming, just going back and forth, vacuuming, "All things work together for good to those who love you." And I'd say, "God, you got to show me what good can come out of bearing a baby, you know?" Mm-hmm. And it was within those 2 weeks, and I had an open vision at my mom's house. And again, there's a lot of people who know what that's all about because they are going to charismatic churches and churches that teach that. For me, I never heard of it. No one ever talked about it. So I was at my mom's house. I was wide awake. I was on her couch. And I can still see it today, and it'll be 33 years. And Jesus was waltzing with Gracie. He had her up on his shoulder, mm-hmm. and his back was towards me, and her face was towards me. And he was waltzing with her. And he said, "Gracie is fine, but there are people on earth who need you." And that was the day I was leaving my mom's house. And I remember leaving, not saying anything, but the thing is, it was scary. You know, it was scary. It wasn't something that was like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus." You know, it was like, "Am I losing my mind? Am I having a nervous breakdown?" Because I was so sad anyway. But I drove home. I told my husband. Now about, 3 weeks have gone by since she's died. And I was back in my townhouse, and Kelly, who I hired, and this other lady, Wayla, were in my basement watching six kids. And I was in the kitchen, and I was taking a pan of fish sticks out of the oven. And I could hear Kelly singing with the children downstairs, and they were singing, "Oh, McDonald Had a Farm." And I was just stood there, and I was listening to these little voices sing. And all of a sudden, I had my second encounter with Jesus. And it was, this one was not visible. It was just very audible. I heard the Holy Spirit say, "That is what Gracie's doing. She's worshiping me in heaven. I want you to create a place where children can worship me." And I was scared. It was so powerful. It was, God Almighty speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, God, you don't have to knock me over the head. I'll do what you want me to do. And just as I said that, Kelly walks up from the basement. She's taking the kids outside, and she grabs her windbreaker from a hook in my kitchen, and she puts it out, and I'm standing, I'm looking out the window watching her, and she puts it on, and it's got a big cross on the back, and it said, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And I just said, "Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, you know." And I was sobbing. I was like, it was scary.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people say, "Oh, I heard God say this. I'm always like, you know what? If you really hear from God, it'll change you forever. Mm-hmm. It marks you. You're never the same. Mm-hmm. And my life has never, I've never gone back. And I've never added one word to that testimony. I've never subtracted. It's like, I think you may have seen it. It's like in a 3-page type up at the daycare. It goes out with our information packets. And a couple years ago, my director said, "Hey, can I just make this a little shorter or put it on one thing?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to ever change it. I don't want to ever reword it." That's exactly. And so anyway, when Kelly, that day after she put her jacket on, she came in, she went down the basement, and she's putting these six kids to sleep. And I went down and I sat next to her, and I just said, "Can I talk to you?" And she said, "Sure." And I just explained the whole thing, what happened at my mom's house with an open vision. And then today, hearing the Holy Spirit say, "That's what I want you to do, create a place where children can worship me." I explained the whole thing to her, and I am like shaking and sobbing. And then she starts crying, and she said, "Oh my gosh, let me tell you about myself." She was a really strong Christian. She still is. She's a leader at her church. She had been praying, "God, give me a place where I can teach kids about you." Because she had her 4-year degree. She had her teaching degree, but she didn't want to be in a public school. So the two of us, 33 years ago, at the time my little daycare was Cradles and Tots, we changed it to Grace Christian Learning Center after Gracie. And it was perfectly orchestrated, because I didn't know a Christian concert. I didn't know a Christian curriculum. I didn't know a Christian author. And here I had Kelly with me, that she was able to help me. It's like God knew, okay, Rita, you're going to do this, but you can't do it by yourself. And literally, we've been together for 33 years.
Wow.
And we've had thousands of kids go through. And the main theme of the daycare is Jesus. You know, we start our mornings out at 6:45, take communion. We pray, plead the blood of Jesus over our daycare, pray for salvation for every one of those kids and their families. And The fun part about the whole story is, as I said earlier, Gracie was due April 15th. She was born and died on April 9th. 1 year later to the date, April 15th, our second daughter was born, Paige. Mm. Paige was in your room with you.
Yes, I know, yeah, Paige. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, we've had five kids, and God's been so good to us, you know. It's real.
My gosh, your story, I mean, it's incredible. I'm speechless. I have tears in my eyes, and it's also because I'm so personally affected by it too. Yeah. Like truly. And my parents will show me like home videos from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like 2 or 3 years old, and I'm just singing songs about Jesus that I learned at daycare. And the kids really take it home with them, you know. It's
they do, and we teach them how to pray, and we teach them how to say, I forgive you, you know, mm-hmm. and we can learn so much from children because they're so quick to forgive and they're so quick to believe, you know, and scripture does have it, you know, I think it's in Mark where, you know, unless you believe like a child, you know, you're not going to enter the kingdom. And it's so true. It's like, we make it so hard, you know, as adults, because we've been hurt
mm-hmm.
and it's just being obedient. And walking, knowing, okay, I'm literally carrying the presence of Jesus in me.
Yeah.
I'm carrying him. And so if I'm carrying him and I know that, and I know that I belong to him, it really, it's not, I mean, I make the sin every day, but it really does help you to choose the things that God wants you to choose. It's not worth it. Mm. You know, it's like you're doing everything for him. So when you're doing it for Christ in mind, and just recently God's been saying to me, you know, you're getting ready to go to a wedding, right? We're getting, the followers of Christ, we're getting ready to go to a wedding. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, as a bride, we want to look nice. We don't want to have all these grudges and offenses and gossip, you know? So it is completely opposite of the world, which is so hard. And I think it's hard for your age group even more than us, because you guys are growing up in just an era where a lot of things are legal, a lot of things are normal,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard.
It is very hard. I agree, but you know, you're being very obedient to the Lord and what you do with your life, and I love the picture or that first vision he gave you.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he said, you know, Gracie's fine, but there are so many children who are not. And that's just the truth. I mean, there's so many people out there who not only have hardship in their life because of all the sin, but they also just don't know anything about Jesus and what he can offer them. And so that's our goal while we're here.
Well, and that's the thing is, probably my greatest prayer every day is encounter people. Like until you are encountered by Jesus, it's hard for it to be real. I mean, I can see. I mean, I lived a life, I believed in Jesus, but until, you know, and you hate to say, you don't want anybody to go through a tragedy. You don't want anybody to go through pain. But when whatever that is, it really brings you to your knees where nothing else matters. I mean, really, I want that for everybody because you come out closer, you know, and mm-hmm. it's tangible. Now it's like, I know my Jesus. I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid anymore. Like life is so fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just ask my prayer, pray for people to encounter him, that God would be real, you know?
Yes. I agree. And you're right. It's sometimes you need to be stripped of everything to really see it in a new way. And sometimes that's not necessarily the case.
People don't have to
hit rock bottom, but I mean, it's what you said. It's just the stripping away, realizing that nothing else will fill us but him. Yeah. And we have to get there. Everyone's on their own journey.
Yeah. And God he doesn't want anyone not to be with him. So I trust him, and I do. I thank God every day that, you know, he knows exactly what, you know, the people in my life that I love, that I want closer to God, he knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And it takes the burden off of us because we can't change a heart. We can't convince anybody. Only Jesus can do that. Only the Holy Spirit. So just thank God every day.
Yep.
You know.
100%. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure a lot of people will feel blessed by your story and just encouraged, even to know that you can go through the deepest heartbreak and still beautiful things can come from it.
It can, you know, and honestly, anybody that listens to your podcast, if they've had a miscarriage, I just met with somebody who had twins, 23 weeks, two little girls, and they passed away a couple hours after they were born. And I met with her, and I would love to meet with anybody. I've done that a lot throughout the years. And because I went to counseling for just a teeny bit, but everybody was so, you know, don't get pregnant, don't do this, and kind of mad at God. And I don't think I was ever mad at God, you know, but if there's anybody that's listening that just really needs somebody to talk to, please, I would love to meet them for coffee.
That's amazing. Thank you for offering that because I would imagine anyone walking through that, it's unimaginable, honestly. I mean,
well, you know, what was kind of interesting is I only had 6 kids and at my first little daycare, and my 6th child that came to me, Caitlin Bracely, she was in your class too. And her mom just had her. And I saying something, is this your first child? And she said, no, we actually lost our first one right after birth. And so when this happened to me, she was the first person I called. And I remember calling her from my mom's house and saying, I just want to know when you smiled again. Did you ever smile again? And I really held on to seeing her have another child, seeing her be okay. So people need to know that, you know, there's so much hope.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting. Real quick, before we move on to the last question, one of my family members, she lost a daughter when her daughter was 3 months old from SIDS. And, her story is very powerful as well, because that's what brought her to the Lord, actually, was that loss. And she talks about how she just is confident that her daughter's days on earth were all purpose filled. Like God had a purpose for all 72 days.
Yeah. Wow. And, that's beautiful.
I just loved that phrasing because it's so true. It's like none of it is wasted. Like he is using all of it and bringing it. Like
that's
you said.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they never had to go through any of the pain of earth. They went straight to be with Jesus. So I mean, they're fine, right?
It's all perspective, like you said.
Yeah.
It's for all
So,
awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I would love to hear, like, do you have, a favorite verse on your heart or even just something you've been learning lately, more recently that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. I thought about that. And, you know, having 5 kids, there's always things that you worry about. And I remember that's probably one of the biggest things I did struggle with after was fear. And, I remember probably 5-7 years ago, just praying really hard about something. God, help me not to be afraid. And I felt like God said, I can't even answer your prayer because fear has been nailed to the cross. I don't pray that way. You know, I felt like a real rebuke from God. And he gave me that scripture, perfect love casts out fear. And so now there's things, you know, I have a little grandbaby who's 6 months old, just told he had to have an ultrasound on his brain because his head's growing too big. And, you know, there's things that you can be concerned and fear about, but like, instead of praying about the fear, I really now say, God, you say perfect love casts out fear. So I'm feeling anxious right now. So would you show me your perfect love? I need to know more of your perfect love. And I use that a lot. It's like, just show me how much you love me, Jesus. Because we live in a world that's, you know, there's a lot of things that can make you anxious. Mm-hmm. And so perfect love casts out fear is 1 John 4:18.
That's really, really good to know. I can relate to that a lot.
If we know the perfect love of Jesus, we're not going to fear.
Yeah.
So it's like, teach me again. It always comes back to us, right? Mm-hmm. We think, oh, this is about this person and this person. It's like, no, this is God circumcising my heart, making me love like him, see like him. I'm so sorry, my puppy is.
It's okay. What kind of dog do you have?
He's 15 and is Bijan.
Oh, how yeah, cute. I have a little Yorkie poo, so similar.
Yeah, he's very anxious right now.
Oh, poor guy. No, it's okay. Totally fine. But no, I can relate to that so much. That's really, really good advice. And especially during the times right now. I mean, right. It's very challenging knowing, you know, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. How do we keep ourselves safe? Yeah, how do we let go and trust the Lord in it? And it's confusing. So scripture is, you know, we need to cling to it.
Yeah. You're pregnant, right? And it's in the COVID season. And so perfect love. Teach me, God, teach me your perfect love. Fear has been nailed to the cross. We don't even want to go there.
I love that.
Yeah, it's been nailed to the cross. Why we can't go there?
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been very wonderful hearing from you. And just like I said, getting your story, hearing your perspective. And I just appreciate you coming on here.
Well, I love you. And I'm so thankful that you graduated and we're still in touch. And I love your family. And I know you guys have a victorious story too. So.
Yeah, no, very
special. We have to encourage each other.
Absolutely. That's why we're here.
Amen.
All right. Well, Rita, you have a great day. Thanks for coming on.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.